become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. Today's Wednesday, 16 January 2019. I didn't even have to hang a sign on a wall. I'm just trying to hold back the hands of time. Daily Caller ran a story, and I said that there was another anonymous source out there. But the Daily Caller is taking the rare step, they say, the publishing this anonymous op-ed at the request of the author, a senior official in the Trump administration, whose identity is known to us and whose career would be jeopardized by its disclosure. We believe publishing this essay anonymously is the only way to deliver an important perspective to our readers, and we invite you to submit a question about the essay or our vetting process. And you can, if you want to do that, you can do that by going to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, grab the story there, and you can comment all you want. Now, continuing, as one of the senior officials working without a paycheck, a few words of advice for the president's next move at shuttered government agencies. Lock the doors, sell the furniture, and cut them down. Federal employees are starting to feel the strain of this shutdown. I am one of them. But for the sake of our nation, I hope it lasts a very long time till the government has changed and can never return to its previous form. The lapse in appropriations is more than a battle over a wall. It's an opportunity to strip wasteful government agencies for good. On an average day, roughly 15% of the employees around me are exceptional patriots serving their country. I wished I could give competitive salaries to them and no one else, but 80% feel no pressure to produce results, and they don't feel like doing what they're told. They don't. And why would they? We can't fire them. They avoid attention, plan their weekends, schedule vacations, their second job, their next position. Some do this in the same position for more than a decade. They do nothing that warrants punishment and nothing of external value. That is their workday. Errands for the sake of errands, administering, refining, following, and collaborating on process. Process is your friend, is what delusional civil servants tell themselves. Even senior officials must gain approval from every rank across their department, other agencies and work units for basic administrative chores. Process is what we serve. Process keeps us safe. Process is our core value. It takes a lot of people to maintain the process. Process provides jobs. In fact, there are process experts and certified process managers who protect the process. Then there are 5% with moxie. They're the career managers. At any given time, they can change, clarify, or add to this process, even to distort or block policy counsel for the president. Saboteurs peddling opinion as research, tasking their staff on pet projects, or pitching wasteful grants to their friends. Most of my career colleagues actively work against the president's agenda. This means I typically spend about 15% of my time on the president's agenda and 85% of my time trying to stop sabotage. and we really have no power to get rid of them until the shutdown. Due to the lack of funding, many federal agencies are now operating more effectively from top down on a fraction of their workforce, with only select essential personnel serving national security tasks. Now, one might think this is how government should function, but bureaucracies operate from the bottom up. A collective of self-generated ideas. Ideas become initiatives, formalize into offices, they seek funds from Congress, and become bureaus or sub-agencies, and maybe one day grow to be their own independent agency, like ours. The nature of the big administrative bureaucracy is to grow to serve itself. I watch it and fight it daily. When the agency is full, employees held liable for poor performance respond with threats, lawsuits, complaints, and process in at least a dozen offices, taking years of mounting paperwork with no fear of accountability, extending their careers while no real work is done. Do we succumb to such extortion? Yes. We pay them settlements. We waive bad reviews, and we promote them. Many government agencies have adopted the position that more complaints are good because it shows inclusion in, you guessed it, the process. When complaints come, it's cheaper to pay them off than to hold public servants accountable. The result? People accused of serious offenses are not charged, and self-proclaimed victims are paid by you, the American taxpayer. The message to federal supervisors is clear. Maintain the status quo or face allegations. Many federal employees truly believe that doing tasks more efficiently and cutting out waste by closing troubled programs instead of expanding them is morally wrong. As one tearfully cried to me, I get it. These are their pets. It's tough to put them down and let them go, and many resist. This phenomenon was best summed up by a colleague who said, the goal in government is to do nothing. If you try to get things done, that's when you'll run into trouble. But President Trump can end this abuse. Senior officials can reprioritize during an extended shutdown, focus on valuable results, and weed out the saboteurs. We do not want most employees to return because we are working better without them. Sure, we empathize with families making tough financial decisions like mine, and just like private citizens who have to find other work and bring competitive value every day, while paying more than a third of their salary in federal taxes. President Trump has created more jobs in the private sector than the furloughed federal workforce. Now that we're shut down, not only are we identifying and eliminating much of the sabotage and waste, but we're finally working on the president's agenda. President Trump does not need Congress to address the border emergency, and yes, it is an emergency. Billions upon billions of hard-earned tax dollars are still being dumped into foreign aid programs every year that do nothing for America's interest or our national security. The president does not need congressional funding to deconstruct abusive agencies who work against his agenda. This is a chance to effect real change, and as leverage grows stronger every day, the shutdown lasts. The president should add to his demands, including a vote on all his political nominees in the Senate. Send the career appointees back. Many are in the 5% of saboteurs and resistance leaders. A word of caution. To be a victory, this shutdown must be different than those of the past and should achieve lasting disruption with two major changes, or it will hurt the president. The first thing we need out of this is better security, particularly at the southern border. Our founders envisioned a free market night watchman state, not the bungled, bloated bureaucracy of our government and what it's become. But we have to keep the uniformed officers paid, which is an emergency. Ideally, continue a resolution to pay the essential employees only. If they're truly working on national security, furloughed employees should find other work, never return, and not be paid. Secondly, we need savings for taxpayers. In this fight is merely rhetorical bickering with Nancy Pelosi. We all lose, especially the president. But if it proves that the government is better when smaller, focusing on essential functions that serve Americans, then President Trump will achieve something great that Reagan was only bold enough to dream about. The president's instincts are right. Most Americans will not miss non-essential government functions. A referendum to end government plunder must happen. Wasteful government agencies are fighting for relevance, but they will lose. Now is the time to deliver historic change by cutting them down forever. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is straight from a senior official in the Trump administration. Now, is he right? Oh, yeah, he is. George in Texas. Hello, George.
How you doing? First time talking to you in the new year. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the thing is, I want to go a step further. I was a president through Homeland Security. I'd be telling the airports and airlines to take over your own security. This TSA is useless. And them being furloughed, I think, is a blessing in disguise if they're not being paid.
Well, and you know what? Let me ask you a question, George, and this is a broader question to the audience. Have you noticed things going funky with your mail delivery? We certainly have here at the network.
Yes.
Steve Elkins sent his mother a birthday card that took 3 weeks to go from Florida to Indiana. 3 weeks. He sent me videos from down there over 10 days ago. They've not shown up. The tracking says it's still en route. I think we got disgruntled federal employees, and these are the ones you really can't fire, but, you know, hey, we can certainly bollocks up the works, and we can slow things down by, you know, putting it in the wrong bag, or putting it here, or not putting it in the bag, or, you know. Yeah.
But I got to say, like the TSA, you know, I just see the deep state trying to pull a false flag attack to try to say, we need the government open.
Oh, no, no. No, the false flaggers did that in Syria today to keep us from leaving. If I got time, I'll get into that story. If not, it'll wait till tomorrow. But, yeah.
But you know, it's just... It's just, you know, you're getting a sympathy for the federal workers. You're hearing in Houston news that restaurants are ordering free food for those furloughed government workers. You know how much those government workers make? They make far higher wages than we do. They ain't hurting.
No. They got benefits packages. They've got their retirement that's guaranteed. The government, if they have to, they'll borrow money to replenish the retirement funds that have been killed. The postal employees aren't happy because they realize that their retirement is in jeopardy, and it's been for a very long time. And they know that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John.
All right. Thanks, George. Appreciate your call. These people are still getting paid. I don't know that I heard of any... federal employees that work for the post office, and that's what you are. You don't work for the state. You work for the Fed. I haven't heard of any of these people being furloughed, but I've also noticed in the last 6 months, they've been really lackadaisical about their jobs. And how much could we cut? Now, folks, if we really get on a roll, and by the way, I've talked to several people about my idea about the reason why I don't bring out the Constitution, it's been mentioned during this process of the shutdown and the rhetoric coming from those that just want to open up the government. You know, we can talk about it later. Let's open it up now. No. It seems that Mr. Trump has an agenda here, and he's going to see it through. And I, for one, I'm more than happy to give him the time to see what he can achieve. If he gets the troublemakers out of the way, and he gets people on board that really want to work for his agenda. And the agenda, folks, is not self-serving. It is for you and I. Haven't seen that in the White House for a very long time. I've seen a lot of posturing. Oh, we're friends with countries, and we got to send funds to them. And it's all about everybody else instead of what? The American people. What is best for them? Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John, I was listening to your excellent show today and your coverage of Hannity yapping his brains out.
Yeah.
And his information is good, and it's about an inch deep and three-quarters of a mile long.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me to thinking that I want, and you're not going to like this, but I want every listener of your show and your network to contact Hannity or somebody like them every day and require that they get you on as a guest for 30 minutes uninterrupted without edit, and you can really lay down what's going on, because I didn't hear him talk about the Administrative Procedures Act. I didn't hear anything worth value.
Well, and for $37 million, it takes a strong creative person to say a lot and really go that inch deep and a mile wide. I mean, that's not an easy task. And by the way, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, people called George Norrie to get me on the air. And one day I called their producer and I said, people have been bugging me. They've been calling me. They want me to do George Norrie. And she says, what's your hook? I said, my hook. She says, yeah, what do you want to talk about? And I said, well, there's a million and one things I can talk about. Well, something specific. And I said, well, how about the godfather of alternative media? That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? I never got a call back from her. I was stalled, and I was stalled, and I was stalled. But they put Alex up there, but they wouldn't put me up there.
No, because the truth is the truth is something. I've learned nobody likes the truth. I don't know why, but
they
don't want to hear it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to have
that's
to
be why, that's why. That's it. Hey, look, Mike, let's be real. When was the last time you were standing there talking to a stranger and they forgot to tell you there was a booger hanging on the end of your nose? Or that your breath was bad. They don't like to offend.
Right. And so they feel offended by true reality. But
When
I was listening to him talk about the shutdown on the blah, 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 it's like if he'd have just brought up the Administrative Procedures Act, he could have explained the whole thing to everybody in a moment's time.
Well, and I caught Charlie Gasparino on Fox Business Channel this about a week ago. And he said flat out, I'm tired of these people talking about the stock market and all this. Basically, what he was saying is we have the official line. Listen to us and what we're telling you, and don't listen to any outside extraneous information. He said, I'm tired of it.
Oh, keep sending your money.
Yeah. Keep spending
your
money.
So if any listeners out there are courageous enough, or people in the chat or whatever, get a platform, pick somebody, and every day – send an email and a message that RBN, RepublicBroadcasting.org, and John Stattmiller will educate their audience 10 times better than any other guest ever.
I would be happy to see Sean Hannity again. And while on the show, I'd remind him that, you know, hey, Sean, I met you back in the 2004 Republican National Convention in New York City. And, you know, I shook your then living broadcast partner, Alan Combs, but I didn't shake your hand. Because Alan Combs never pretended to be anything else than what he was. And he came off a hell of a lot more credible than what Sean Hannity did. So
he was part of my conservative conversion. No, seriously, I was raised in the 70s by liberal idiots and in the school system, and it took a long time to unwash my mind, and he was part of that because he just would say it, and then I could go do some research, and it made sense.
Wow. Well, there you
go. Keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your call.
Take care.
Jack in California. Didn't we sell California off to Mexico yesterday to pay for the wall?
Well, if we build a wall, I hear it's going to be an Israeli firm that builds it.
Yeah. Actually, there have been tongue-in-cheek, quiet little murmurings and giddy-ha-has going on saying, you know, while we're building that wall, let's get the funding to build it from Northern California all the way down to the southern border, and then we need to seal up our southern border as well. But let's build a wall against California because you guys are a sanctuary state. Once they step into your state, they're spreading everywhere. Jack, I'm sorry to do this. I'm going to have to have you hold for 3 minutes. Can you do that while we take a break?
Absolutely.
All right, hang on.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Taking care of business. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what Trump is up to. And he's already been firing people. Just hang on. I'll get to that. Back to Jack in California. What's on your mind, Jack?
Well, a couple things. But I pleasantly discovered that you're, as noted on my first call to you last time, you grew up in Michigan and you said St. Mary's. So I'm curious, is it St. Mary's in Royal Oak, Michigan?
No, it's not.
Ah. Okay. So, second thing I want to talk about is you were talking about health previously in the first hour, or the last hour at least. I just want to impart a couple of things to you. I had a cousin who had a heart transplant at University of Michigan, and probably in his late 20s. And the doctor told him this: if you're going to do high heart rate exercise, cardio, no more than 20 minutes max. Beyond that, it degrades the heart muscle.
Yeah,
so
and
research that.
Yeah, and the, you know, this is why I'm saying, you know, I don't know people that are joggers that get out there and run insane amount of miles, and they do it every single day. I don't.
That's not real natural.
No, it's not. Human beings weren't made to run all day long. You know.
Exactly.
We're bipedal, and I think the fastest time that was ever timed a human being was running about 23 miles an hour, which ain't really quick. which tells me that we're not the prey, we're not the predator, we're the prey. Because we're some of the slowest mammals on the face of this planet. At any rate,
you know, I think there's something to be said about like paleo diet, emulating the Paleolithic man, grass-fed beef, greens, sardines. Stay away from the grain and the flour, which is creating inflammation of the arteries. That's the leading heart surgeon came out and said about 6 years ago.
Mm.
Stay away from the sugar, which is contributing to the inflammation and the diabetes and the acidic blood, which later develops into all these different cancers.
Yep.
And then, of course, you have the weaponized food chain with GMO soy crops, GMO corn crops.
Jack, that was a sponsor I had on last hour, and I'm obliged to do that. I'm happy to do it because this product actually works for me, but I'm not doing a health show, so I've got to run.
Well, one last thing.
Okay.
Okay. You talked about the 60s. You were a kid of the 60s and 70s. And we talked about the mindset of your generation. And we talked about the counterculture revolution. And I just wanted to share one last thing. I caught 2 years ago on YouTube, the Grateful Dead, the band that is, confessing, admitting that they worked for the Central Intelligence Agency.
I don't know doing what. I saw the same story. I didn't even bother to read it through.
Anyhow, I just wanted to impart, you know, interesting times in the 60s and 70s, but I think that your period of growing up in America at that time, the government had its hand in the intel and counterintelligence. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jack. It was a time that it was the division of the United States. It started back in the 60s, and it has not stopped. Think about that. Our listeners, some of them are old enough, they were kids and they grew up in the 50s. I grew up in the 60s, I remember the 60s, which tells you that I didn't do the mind-blowing drugs that made me stupid, that affected my memory. Got break coming up. Let me squeeze in Chris from Las Vegas here. Hello, Chris. We run short. I'll carry you over.
That's great, John. I got a couple of points for you. And I do, too, remember a good portion of the 60s. There might be a few missing elements, but generally I recall most of the important things, thankfully, and a lot since then. I did recall seeing this morning early, I think it was, another Hannity episode where he was talking about they had recently uncovered the fact that the FBI had been surveilling Trump going back all the way to 2005, not just the 2016 prior to the presidential race, but considerably prior to that, likely warrantlessly again, because they are a private for private profits foreign corporate agency, having substantial financial interest in investigating terrorists and thereby stealing money from the American people, being a felony theft by deception and fraud, to unjust enrich themselves by investigating innocent people like Trump at that time.
And do you think, Chris, in 13 years of that, they've been looking at Trump since 2005, in 13 years, do you think that there was anything that he did that was seriously wrong, that he had already been charged?
Well, of course, but it was lucrative to keep investigating him and surveilling him 24/7, 365. That's a pretty good paycheck for FBI agents. Mueller is the same situation. He's dealing after the break.
Well, I'm still befuddled by the fact that nobody's talking about John Brennan was a member of the Communist Party back in the 70s, and he's the ex-CIA chief. How does that happen? How exactly does that happen? Let's take the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe, trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Back. Chris, you still there?
I am, John. Thank you very much. You kind of snuck up on me there.
Yeah.
This absolute insanity of Mueller spending these multi-billions, if not trillions of dollars on this invest ligation, when the truth is right there before anybody with a common sense and a half a brain to see.
Well, it hasn't been trillions. But it's he's racked up millions and millions of dollars. This stuff is expensive to do, but it's not billions and it's certainly not trillions. But I think my original assessment about this, once all the dust is starting to settle, is I think the FBI is implicated, top officials of the FBI, whether it be cover up for Hillary Clinton or destroying evidence or whatever the case may be. They're worried, and they're going to try to outlast this thing. They're going to try to outlast Trump, and hopefully, politically, at least somebody takes his place. Or if he's not able, here's a scenario I don't even want to think about, he's not able to either finish out his term or rerun for office in 2020. They're playing the waiting game here, and it's the stall tactic. I mean, this is obvious to everybody, but it's the same old thing, Chris. I mean, it's like the JFK thing. It was the who, the what, the where. Oh, it was the grassy knoll. Oh, no, it was this, it was that. But nobody really seriously asked the question, why was he killed?
Mm. Indeed, there may have been multiple reasons one would observe.
He slapped the bankers in the face. He looked at the CIA and says, I'm going to spread you to the four winds. The military-industrial complex that his predecessor, on his way out the door, warned people about the military-industrial complex. He didn't want to go to, he didn't want Vietnam. Oh, there was a lot of reasons to kill that guy. And he was a Democrat, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I get it. But he was one of those blue dog Democrats back then when there was really a difference in the Democrat Party and they weren't all left-wing extremists like they are today.
Yeah.
But going back to Brennan, you know, the fact that he was Communist Party USA back in, what, the 60s or 50s, a Muslim, supposedly. In fact, a Wahhabi Muslim, I think. It's just absolutely insane that somebody like this should be at the very top of our global security program and national security, perhaps, who have absolute conflicted interest of other countries' interest in front of America's. In fact, seems to me he has the destruction of America forefront in his sights. But I also have a pamphlet from the 50s. And it's the time that Martin Luther King was assassinated and some others were assassinated.
That was the 60s.
Well, 50s and 60s, yes.
Okay.
It's talking about how the FBI under Hoover was doing the same thing. They had the scurrilous tactics, these leaks to the press to slander and incriminate somebody, to drive them away from being elected or having the following of peoples that they feared were going to uprise and be a populist movement, much like the so-called Yellow Vest in France.
Who was J. Edgar Hoover? He was a cross-dressing foo-foo.
Yes, and director of the FBI, which I think, in my estimation, from what I saw, that was the very reason that Rosenstein threw Comey into the bus, was because he was lusting after Comey's position to be the director, and he probably was following in Hoover's footsteps and wanting to be the tyrant that had something on everybody so he could extort money and get everything he wanted for nothing.
Now, this is all periphery job-gaining stuff, but it's really not going to the core. I think my spidey sense is telling me that the FBI is all in on this one, because if not, the people that you see out there and the people that you don't hear about very often, the underlings underneath them, I think there's a lot of people that could possibly go to jail in the FBI.
Absolutely. I would agree with you. In fact, this same pamphlet pointed out that this is one of their tactics. Anybody that said anything that was contrary to the FBI enjoying their lucrative employment and egregious unjust enrichment was targeted by them and politically assassinated, character assassinated, driven to break up their families like they've done mine, throw them out of their houses. All kinds of scurrilous tactics that these people have used. They're enemies to America. All these agencies have their own self-interest at heart, and they're a danger to the American national security and the public safety for sure, and they need to roll back these administrative agencies and get something that's actually under law with some oversight and some actual teeth to keep them in their bounds of control and within the law instead of becoming lawless agencies like they appear to have done, in my estimation. Thank you so much, John.
All righty. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it, Chris. You don't think Donald Trump knows what he's doing? President Trump will seek to hire the best and fire the worst. Federal government employees under the most ambitious proposal to overhaul the civil service in 40 years. This is coming from the White House. The measures will be outlined in the budget plan that Trump will send to Congress Monday, said four Office of Management and Budget officials who spoke on condition of anonymity because the budget hasn't been released. Trump foreshadowed the proposal in a line in his State of the Union address last week. And quoting the president, he said, tonight I will call on Congress to empower every cabinet secretary with the authority to reward good workers and to remove federal employees who undermine the public trust or fail the American people. And what Donald is using here is the VA Accountability Act, which gave the Secretary of Veterans Affairs greater authority to fire and discipline workers as a model. The White House says that the law has resulted in the dismissal of 1,470 employees, the suspension of 443, and demotions for another 83, and that was just last year alone. The guy is serious. Thomas in Florida. Hello, Thomas.
Yes, thank you for having me on. I may be a little bit off subject because I wanted to talk about the wall. I'm kind of basically going to repeat what I said on Steve Elkin's show on the weekend. it seems like Trump is just so visible. He's the most popular as well as the most notorious, I mean, president we've had in my memory. And what would keep him? Everyone would be paying attention. What would keep him if he did, like you say, one of his fireside chats, which is what he really should be doing, and he was to take the words from John Kennedy and say, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And I remember that one part that struck me, when Kennedy said, I am asking for your help. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And then the next thing he would say is, I am announcing a call to arms. We won't be fighting. We will be building. We'll be building a wall. All able-bodied men who want to come, and they pay like something really nice, like $30 an hour, basically collection points, buses. We could use the military. He could lay it all out where they set up temporary but very comfortable encampments like they do in Afghanistan and like they do all over the Mideast. I mean, those places are quite luxurious. I've seen them.
Army. And look, Tom, the Army Corps of Engineers.
Yeah.
Under their direction, how many construction workers do we have out of work? How many electricians? How many plumbers? How many people in the construction industry that can take direction and provide the labor to build that wall?
Yes, and it would be a call to arms, but a peaceful call of arms to do a wall. It's going to be a mechanical metal construction, which would be easy for people. It's all going to be very repetitive. And I'm thinking, if he said, look, because it's a national emergency, all the earnings you get will be tax-free. You can work 10 days on and 5 days off. We'll be able to pick you up, take you back and forth. And those of you who are not able-bodied enough to participate can contribute. And for maybe $10 or more, we will literally give you the biomarker of the wall you're on, and we'll itch your name in the wall. And everybody would, imagine how many people would jump on that. It would be just, it would be like a huge explosion of patriotism and something that you could do. We all could do something, either send money or go to where the collection point is and get in the construction bus. You know, I just think it maybe it sounds kind of, you know, fantastical, but I mean.
No, I know. I like the idea. I really do. Because, you know, unemployment's not 3.7%. We know that 80-plus million people are still out of work. There would be a ton of people would jump on that. They'd be happy to do it because they see the funds being sucked out of the state treasuries to take care of the illegals in these sanctuary states and cities. They'd be helping themselves and helping America. I would call that patriotic.
Yes, and think how beloved the Kennedys are to most people by basically using the passion of John Kennedy and incorporating it into today to basically solve this problem.
You know, Thomas, I think you just hit on a broader point politically and people that are on the fence about Donald Trump or, you know, whatever the case. You know, they're judging him by a case-by-case basis, as I guess anybody should, but they're not giving him the leeway, and they're still sour graping that Trump is somehow not doing enough, or he's not doing it the way they would do it, or they're not addressing their list and their priorities. So therefore, Trump, you know, is, you know, bleh. No, people have to stop doing this. The enemy is at the gate. They have shown us who they are. We'll get around to the Republicans, by the way. After we do away with the commie Democrats, we'll go after the neocon and socialistic and commie Republicans next. We don't have to stop. We can take our lunch, take a breather, take a break, and then clean out that rat, drain the swamp. Politically, we could do that. We could do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think it's a wonderful idea, Thomas. I really do.
Well, you know, the feds and everybody listens into your show. Maybe they'll pick up a hint and maybe they'll get to him, because I think that's what we all need. I mean, we're just dying for it. I mean, I feel like everybody feels. We just don't know what to do, but that's something we could do. And it would just be fantastic if he would do something like that.
All right. Well, Thomas, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. I don't think it's a bad idea, and you're not violating anything. You're going to be hiring people, paying them per hour to do a job, to fulfill a contract. Bingo. What's Donald good at? Business and contracts, getting things built, getting things done. That's what the guy does. That's what he did before he became president. He built stuff. By the way, if you noticed, Theresa may or may not stay. Well, she's going to stay for a little while. She barely beat out a no-confidence vote from the parliament over there. And these Brexit fears have the establishment just absolutely panicking. If I have enough time here, I'll get into Macron. He ordered the police over there to use live ammo on the yellow vest people. Wonder how well that's going. Didn't hear that in the news. But there's no question that Theresa, the gypsum lady, as they call her, May, has made a mess of Brexit negotiations. She allowed a terrible deal to be negotiated by the staff that never wanted to leave the European Union in the first place. Yeah, we figured that out across the pond over here as well. It's been my contention that she did this on purpose, in effect working for Brussels, the British bureaucracy, and the aristocracy, whose goal it is to undermine the will of the people. Gee, we seem to be having the same problem here. With the latest bit of drama, it's become clear that both she and Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn not only have come to terms with the deal less Brexit, but their opposition within both parties can now make only things as difficult as possible as we wend our way through and towards March 29th. Yvette Cooper's amendment to gum up the works on no-deal Brexit by putting stipulations on spending preparations was, in the mind of the Durans, Alexander Mercois, a cheap bit of political grandstanding to undermine Corbyn. Now, the same is going on within the Tories, as leaks and statements by members of the gypsum ladies' cabinet keep giving markets and the EU hope that no-deal Brexit can still be avoided. Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, obviously speaking for the British establishment, is again trying to scare people into accepting May's deal because a hard Brexit is not an option, at least not for them. In an interview with BBC's flagship radio show Today program on 11 January, Hunt said, if this deal is rejected, ultimately what we may end up with is not a different type of Brexit, but Brexit paralysis. And Brexit paralysis ultimately could lead to no Brexit. Yeah. It could only lead to Brexit paralysis because Remainers like Hunt would force that option versus no deal Brexit. Does this sound familiar? Obstruction? It's what the people want. But you got the people in there trying to stonewall it, subvert it. They're not paying attention. I wonder if we should send free copies for Vendetta to these guys. Remember the 5th of November. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Yes, John. The people there over in England should just go to Old Town London, that is the home base of the Rothschilds, and tear that place apart. I think, and expose that place. I think that might help them a little bit in getting their point across.
Yeah.
That's a disgusting country with the leadership that is. But someone brought up the fact that the FBI has been watching Trump since 2005. Well, I think that may factor into the fact, or factor into the that his father was a John Bircher, and that Trump is a Scottish Mason, and that all of those people are probably observed or kept under scrutiny from the time they're born. And so Trump is probably well aware of that and not fearful of it, because his point in life is to be successful and I think to be somewhat just. So I wouldn't be too concerned about all of that happened before, because I'm sure his security force that he's had for a long time is right out there continuing their obligation and desire to be there for him. And that's our blessing in disguise, because he's certainly surrounded by a bunch of snakes in Washington. And one other thing I did hear program today, it was done on Monday with Deborah Tavares, and she was talking about what's taking place in California, and it's very disturbing. There's a company in Southern California that's involved with program where they're taking energy from solar satellites and directing it towards Earth. These are microwave frequencies that are very intense, and they're using them in a way that is not very good. I'll send you the link to the program I listened to. I think you'll find it interesting, and I hope people do some research on that, because she did say that the Russians were involved with this company in Manhattan Beach, Solarin, and that Trump knows about it. But I don't know if where his connection or what his involvement is with this company, but he knows about this technology, and this is supposed to be the technology coming in the future, because PG&E, which is a Rothschild company, is going to claim bankruptcy because they were responsible for those fires, and they're just using that as a sort of leeway into this new energy system that they're going to be using.
They better get it online here pretty quick, because I'm seriously, today I saw a Coca-Cola delivery truck, not the tractor trailer, but the kind of semi type of tractor that hauls the shorter trailers that they use for deliveries. And right on the side of the front door, it said, this is a hybrid electric truck. So they got all kinds of plans. Ford and General Motors is not getting out of the car business because they can't make any money at it. There's a new thing coming, and they're going to need the power in which to make that electricity, because, well, we don't build nuclear power plants anymore. And we've got a half the country that wants to stop coal production. I don't think they're ready for only part-time electrical service. We only get to use it so many hours a day. You only get that if you're a Palestinian. You know, so at any rate, John, I appreciate your call.
Well, John, this is a death weapon. It is something I hope you listen to the program. I'll forward it to you.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, John.
God bless.
Even the Washington Post. Trump's AG pick was top cop during the federal siege and killing of Randy Weaver's wife and son. So it was in the Washington Post. The Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for Attorney General nominee William Barr have focused heavily on Barr's views of Special Counsel Robert Mueller, but nobody is asking about Barr's legal crusade for blanket immunity for federal agents who killed American citizens. Barr received a routine questionnaire from the Judiciary Committee asking him to disclose his past work, including pro bono activities, serving the disadvantaged. The disadvantaged that Barr spent the most time helping was an FBI agent who slayed the Idaho mother holding her baby in 1992. Barr spent 2 weeks organizing former attorney generals and others to support an FBI sniper in defending against criminal charges in connection with Ruby Ridge incident. Barr also assisted in framing legal arguments advanced in the district court and the subsequent appeal in the Ninth Circuit. That charitable work for an FBI agent who already had a federally paid law firm defending him helped tamp down one of the biggest scandals during Barr's time as Attorney General from 1991 to early 1993. Barr was responsible for both the U.S. Marshals Service and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, two federal agencies whose misconduct at Ruby Ridge helped to weaken the bond of trust that must exist between ordinary Americans and our law enforcement agencies, according to the 1995 Senate Judiciary Committee report. After Randy Weaver, an outspoken white separatist, at least they didn't say supremacist, living on a mountaintop in northern Idaho, was entrapped by an undercover federal agent, U.S. Marshals trespassed on Weaver's land and killed his 14-year-old son, Sammy. The following day, FBI sniper Lon Horarucci killed his wife, Vicky, as she was standing in the cabin doorway. Horarucci had previously shot Randy Weaver in the back after he'd stepped out of the cabin. The suspects were never given a warning or a chance to surrender and had taken no action against the FBI agents. After the Idaho grand jury found Weaver not guilty on almost all charges, federal judge Edward Lodge slammed the Justice Department and the FBI for concealing evidence and showing a callous disregard for the rights of defendants in the interest of justice. A Justice Department internal investigation compiled a 542-page report detailing federal misconduct and cover-ups in the case and suggested criminal charges against FBI officials involved in Ruby Ridge. Barr told the New York Times in 1993 that he is not directly involved in the Ruby Ridge operation. 2 years later, the Washington Post revealed that top officials of the Bush Department had at least 20 phone contacts concerning Ruby Ridge in the 24 hours before Vicki Weaver was shot, including two calls involving Mr. Barr. In January of 1995, FBI Director Louis Free announced wrist slaps for the FBI officials involved, including his friend Larry Potts, who supervised the operation from headquarters, who approved the shoot without provocation orders that contravened the Constitution in the United States, according to the Justice Department internal report. When Attorney General Janet Reno later nominated Potts for Deputy Director of the FBI, top newspapers and members of Congress protested, but Barr told the New York Times that his friend Potts was deliberate and careful, and I developed a great deal of confidence in his judgment. I can't think enough good things to say about him. A few months later, the FBI suspended Potts after suspected perjury regarding Ruby Ridge. He was not charged, and he retired 2 years later. And I can guarantee you, folks, he got his full severance and retirement. The Justice Department paid $3 million to settle the wrongful death lawsuit from the Weaver family. But when Boundary County, Idaho, filed criminal charges against Horarucci, Barr sprang into action seeking immunity for FBI snipers. He spearheaded the efforts to sway the court to dismiss all charges because holding a sniper liable would severely undermine, if not cripple, the ability of future attorney generals to rely on such specialized units in moments of crisis, such as hostage taking and terrorist acts. Does Mr. Trump know about that? Probably not. But maybe somebody will tell them. All right, that'll do it for us today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. I appreciate your participation today. And please, folks, support this network. It's important. We're one of the last few remaining Mohicans out there. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family.
because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The preacher man says it's the end.